Well, this morning, we're going to go to Psalm 48. I've entitled this, The Glory of God in Zion. Psalm 48 is a psalm about the church. It's about Zion, but our application is it's about the church and God's love for the church, the glory that He has placed within the church. It's a beautiful psalm. There's much in it, and the Lord willing, I think it'll take me 2 weeks. So I don't expect to get done with where I want to go today. But we are going to look at the whole psalm. And God has determined from all eternity that He would have a church, okay? Before the foundations of the world were ever laid, God determined that He would have a church, that He would present to His Son the love gift of the bride of Christ, and that is the church. So you being here today, being connected to Christ mystically through the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit, being connected to Christ, was purposed in the heart of God before all eternity. He had purposed that there would be a church. And as you look at the church, she is... And we don't have a right view because we get funneled vision into someone sitting next to us. And we see that we're feeble and that none of us are perfect. There's no one perfect. I guess I don't have to ask if anybody's perfect. None of us are perfect. But from all eternity that He would have a church and that He would have a people resident in this world. And so it was that neither Pharaoh of Egypt could prevent nor all the nations of Canaan could obstruct the establishment of Zion in Jerusalem. That was the goal where Israel was going to establish Zion, and through her would come a king, Jesus Christ. All nations would rage against her, against the church in the first covenant, against Israel, but they could not destroy her, though Pharaoh did all he could do to destroy them. He could not destroy. All of Canaan could not destroy. All of Babylon, all of Syria and Assyria, they could not destroy her. She survived. And so it is, God has purposed that, the establishment of Mount Zion. For God's counsel must stand, and He will do all of His will. What He has purposed before the world began, He will complete it. And the church will stand in the last day when Christ comes again. It'll be for a church, not an empty world, not an empty nation or an earth, not an empty church. He's coming for His church. That's what He's coming for in the end. He is coming for His church. And even now, nations will rise and nations fall, don't they? Nations rise up, nations fall. Kings come, kings go. Governments come, governments go. But the church of Jesus Christ has always been there. And will always be there, whether it's communism, Marxism, socialism, democracy, capitalism. The church will survive. Everything we know will pass on, but the church will survive. Our families will not be the same. Our houses will not be the same. Our jobs will not be the same. Our bodies are not the same. We move from generation to generation. We are born, we live, we die, but the church goes on. And so do we go on in eternity. We realize that heaven... Our earth isn't our home. In one sense, you will never die. I will never die. This body will give its last gasp, but I will never die. Death has no reign over us. We will, the moment we leave this earth, we will live forever. Do you think death can get us in eternity? No. Has death have any power in heaven? No. That death doesn't exist for us. It's gone. The body might die, but that's not me. That's not you. Our spirit and soul, we're going to live on. We're going to move on. We're never going to die. We're just going to move to some better place. And death has no power there. We'll live forever and ever and ever and ever. And death can't reach into heaven and pull us out. We're safe forever. And so we are safe in the hands of the Lord. Psalm 48, again, is about the church. What does God say about the church? What does He think of the church? And we're challenged to contemplate the church. So let's read these verses from 48. We'll read the whole psalm, 14 verses. starting, of course, in verse 1. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness, or in His holy mountain. Beautiful for elevation, or some versions have situation. Beautiful for elevation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion from the sides of the north, the city of our great King. God is in her palaces. He is known as her refuge. This morning we sang right at during offering, the Waymaker, miracle worker. God is in our midst. Are we aware of that? Do we realize that when we gather together as God's people, that God gathers with us and He moves amongst us? And He is the miracle worker. He is the promise keeper. He is the heart healer. Am I transacting with Him? Do I have this personal relationship with Him? God is in her palaces. Verse 4, for behold, the king assembles, or kings assemble. This is now speaking of the enemies of the church. The kings have assembled. They passed by together. They saw it. Zion, the church, they saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled. They hastened away. Fear took hold of them there in pain, as a woman in child pains, as when you break the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. Verse 8, as we have heard, so we have seen. In the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, God will establish her forever. We have thought, O God, on your loving kindness in the midst of your temple. According to your name, O God, so is your praise to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of your judgments. Now, verse 12, walk about Zion. Walk through her. Walk around her. Walk about Zion. Go all around her, count her towers, mark well her bulwarks or her ramparts. Consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generations following. For this God, our God, is God forever. He will be your guide even unto death. So there it is, and I want to major in, but I might not get there this week. I want to major in verses 12, 13, and 14. There's three things we're commanded to do. Walk around Zion and go all around her. That's what we're to do. There's actually four things. So we'll get into them, but just keeping that in mind. Again, Zion is the church for us. It is the church. It's no longer a city in Israel. Jerusalem isn't what it was when this psalm was written. It's probably written, the history of it is probably after Jehoshaphat's great victory. They're so proud of how God protected Jerusalem and Zion. But here's what we're told, again in verse 12. Count her towers, mark well her bulwarks, consider her palaces. So as you walk around, this is what we're told to do again, these three things. Count, mark, and consider. Count the towers, mark the bulwarks, and consider her palaces. So that's what we're to do. God sets our mind on those things. And now let's work through these verses, 1 through 14. We'll just kind of work our way towards the end. Let's pray before we get more into this. Father, we do thank you that we can celebrate together, Lord, today, just being together, your people, redeemed, Lord, from every background and different family situations and different histories, Lord, that you have redeemed us. And we thank you that we can gather together in your name. Lord, we're thankful that you are here, even this moment, moving amongst us, by your Spirit speaking to us and encouraging us and challenging us. Lord, help me to tune my heart to you and not to the busyness of the world, not to the events of the past week or a coming week, but Lord, to be tuned to you this morning. Lord, that our minds would be all about you. Lord, open our minds and our hearts to understand what you're saying to us today, that we might appreciate, Lord, the benefits of being called the children of God, that we would just appreciate the benefits, the wonders of being called the bride of Christ, being the church of the living God. Lord, we thank you. And so just help me this morning to be a vessel that would pass on what you want us to hear, Lord, what you want us to understand, and help us each to receive what you're saying to us. Oh, Holy Spirit, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Verse 1, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Is he greatly to be praised?
Yeah.
Well, why? Because he's great. See, these are things for us to contemplate. Why is God great? And to make it personal, why God is great. Why is he great to you? Why is he great to me? Is he great to you? Is he great to me? Is there something I say, man, Lord, you set me free from this sin. Lord, when I was lost in trespasses and sins, you came and you pulled me up out of the miry clay. Lord, you are great. Lord, you've answered my prayer. Maybe in a way I didn't expect, but Lord, the prayer was answered. Lord, you are great. Great. And again, we, in one sense, we can't define the word great. It's beyond measure. Great is the Lord. And because he is great, he is what? Greatly to be praised. Did we do that this morning? That's why we're here. Or didn't I? Am I too confined to my situations? Don't I realize? And the way free from my situations, free from my inhibitions, is to recognize that God is great. He is great. He is great. Maybe even I struggle with seeing greatness that he's done for me. Maybe you feel like God hasn't done for you what he's done for somebody else. Those temptations and trials come to us. But then find out his greatness in others and praise him for that. Read the history of the church. Read Hebrews 11. Read the great biographies of the church. Men like Martin Luther, who stood before the mightiest power in the world and said, I will not bow to you. And he nails on the door the theses, which, you know, the beginning of the Reformation, 95 theses he nails on the door and said, here I stand. All I can do is say what God has taught me from the scriptures. I can do nothing else. Here I stand. If you burn me at the stake, you'll burn me at the stake. Men like him back in England during Bloody Mary's reign, where 288 people were burned to death, were martyred, were killed because of their faith, and they would not bow the knee to anything other than what the scriptures taught. And we can go on and on and on. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Where is he to be praised? Where do we do that? In the city of our God. Right here, right this morning. Great is Jehovah. Great is my God. He's given me hope when I had no hope. He's overcome my discouragement and my depression. And yea, we may ebb and flow. Our emotions may move around, but Christ never changes. Our promises are never changing. They are always secure as he is secure because our hope is in him. It's not in ourselves. It's in him. So this is wonderful. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Great is his mercy. Great is his love for us. Great is his power. Great is his ability. Maybe I don't love him, but he can make me love him. If I'm willing, the Lord, to teach me how to love you, teach me how to surrender to you, the Lord will do that. Great is the Lord. He's greatly to be praised in the city of his God, in the holy mountain. It tells you something, that the church is a holy place. Holy being, it's separated from the world. It's different than any other organization that we ever step in. The church is different. It's separated, and it's separated unto God. And because it's separated unto God, and the church has communion with God, it is conformed into the image of God. Do you want to know a Christian? Know their church. If you want to know the Christian's God, know their church. Know what they're like. In the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. It's wonderful. Verse 2, beautiful for elevation. Again, the old King James says situation. The reason it says situation is because as the writer of the psalm looked at it, it was elevated. Mount Zion is higher. There it sits, and on it is, was it, it's beautiful there. And it's the situation of it, where it was placed, is beautiful. But the word is elevation. The church that we belong to is elevated. It's elevated above what? The world. And the culture of the world. We have a different kingdom. We have a different set of rules that we live by. We love our enemies. We pray for those who persecute us. We love one another when we don't deserve love. We go the second mile. The kingdom is different than the culture out there. Elevated. The church is elevated. Beautiful in elevation. And it's beautiful because it's Christ-like. Shouldn't Christ's bride be like Christ? Yes. Beautiful for situation. Elevation. How God has elevated the church. And he's elevated you in the church because you are the church. You know, how does a groom treat his bride on the wedding day? You know, how does he treat his bride? And if he's a good husband, doesn't he treat her well all the time? Doesn't Christ treat us well all the time? Don't they elevate the bride? You know, on the wedding day, it's the bride comes marching in, not the groom. He's stuck over here on the side, not of much importance. Nobody cries when the groom comes out here and stands. It's like, oh yeah, there he is, and the bridesmen, you know, there they all are, you know. But when the bride comes, everybody stands up and people are crying. And it's the elevation of the bride. Isn't the church something? Jesus wants to parade us through all eternity. Beautiful for elevation. How he's elevated us. We who were nothing, sinners, lost, hopeless, without hope in this world. He's elevated above everything else, even above angels. He will elevate us. Wow. Beautiful for situation. How God has elevated us. We are to be a city on a hill, a light of the darkness. We're supposed to be the light of the world, a city on a hill. He's elevated the church to this point. You are that way. Your life is to be such that you are a light that draw men to Jesus Christ. We are to be in such a way as a city on a hill, as a light that cannot be hid, as the light of the world, that our lives are different. And hopefully people will start asking us, why are you different? Why aren't you all worked up about this? Why do you have peace here? Why? And we'll have an answer. Peter tells us, always being ready to have an answer for the hope that is within us. Always being ready. Well, may our lives be so different that people question, what's different about us? Why, when this person talked negatively about you, why didn't you get even with them? At your job, when someone tried to put you down so they would look better and their ambition is trying to get your job, but you don't retaliate. Why is that? When you get the bad news, why didn't you fall all apart or get even or retaliate? What's different about you? Well, we have a reason to tell us. Because Christ lives in me and it's his spirit within me and I'm different because of that. She is a city on a hill. In all the earth there is no place where God is worshipped and praised as he is in the church. Football games will go on by the numbers, don't they? And people cheer when they come in. But no place should there be a cheer like there should be in the church for Jesus Christ, that we worship him. It's amazing. We worship him. No place on earth like the church. The church is elevated above all creation. There, in God's eyes, though Mount Everest is wonderful and beautiful places, the Grand Canyon and beautiful places we've seen, God cares about them because they're reflections of who he is. But the church, all those things are going to be burned up and consumed and gone, but not the church. He loves the church. He's given himself for the church. It's supposed to be in stark contrast to the world. She is yet in the world. Here we are, but not of the world. There should be no merging of the world and the church. There's a separation. We'll get into that more when we get down into the bulwarks of what it's talking about in verse 13. Verse 3, God is in her palaces. We'll look more at that later too when we get further down in there. God is in her palaces. He is known as her refuge. The church's refuge throughout the ages. The refuge of God, or the refuge of the church, has been Jesus Christ. Though they may not have been spared, though they may have suffered, though they may have been persecuted. I remember reading in the book, one of the China Inland Missions books, about a group of missionaries that were caught during the communist takeover, and they were burned in a courtyard. They were martyred in a courtyard. They were beheaded and killed by the sword. Maybe a dozen of them were murdered there. And a week or 2 weeks later, some other Christians made it to this little compound where they had been, but where their blood was spilled. And in the middle of the compound was a pile of ashes. They took all their belongings and they burned everything. And there was nothing there but ashes. And for some reason, one of them went over and sifted through the ashes. And here was a Bible, all burned up. And all they could do, they opened up a page, and there was one thing there that they could read. It was readable in all the ashes, and it said, "Unless a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone." What a sign that God was there to these people. God is there. He cares about His church. Whether she goes through persecution, wow, they must be careful. Where is Pol Pot today? The one-time leader and arrogant dictator of Cambodia. Where is he today? Well, he's gone. But the church thrives. We'll maybe get more into that a little bit later. This is our God. He is our refuge. Then verses 4 to 7 talk about the kings of the earth assembled and they passed by together. They saw it and so they marveled. They were troubled. They hastened away. Fear took hold of them there. And pain as of a woman in birth pangs. And when you break the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. So he said, okay, all these nations rose up against him, but where are they today? See, nations rise and nations fall. Where is the church of God? Healthy and thriving. Not just managing. She is healthy and thriving. You know, our greatest disadvantage is our advantage. We have so much. Because we have so much, we have so little. It's our abundance that keeps us from true abundance. We have so much. And the church throughout the centuries has always been the persecuted church. The purest church will never be found where there's prosperity for all. It'll be found where there's persecution. That'll be the purest church will be there. It's just amazing. All the enemies, those who attack the church, shall pass away, but the church shall endure. God will have His testimony regardless of the governments or the antichrists. His church shall stand. I get a little magazine called Asian Harvest. And the most recent one that I got was it was a month or two ago. But there's pictures there of the church in China. It's about Asia, different places in Asia. But this particular one was a church that was meeting in China. And there was... maybe not quite this many, although it was all adults. Maybe this many. They were all together. For some reason, they took a group picture. Someone took a picture. I'm not sure why. And they were meeting outside because the government had just destroyed their church, had burnt it to the ground, arrested their pastors and any elders that they might have had, arrested them, threw them in prison. And yet they met on this Sunday morning in public, outside, in a park. And then it said there was, further into the magazine, had this little note. Did you notice anything different about the church? And so I went back to look at the front picture again to see, and I thought, well, they're outside. You know, that's about all I noticed. They were outside. And then it says, no, look again. Many of them have handbags with them. So then I looked, and I thought, oh, yeah, standing, you know, besides them, on the ground next to them was bags, different sized bags. Not everybody, but a number of them did. The bags are there because in them they have packed some clothes because they expect to get arrested and thrown into prison and be left there. But they get to keep their bag when they go in. So they go to church packing a bag so when they get arrested they got something in prison. Wow. What do we pay to come to church? You know? Amazing. I remember talking to my friend in Wisconsin when he did some mission visit in the Philippines. And he said there, on their Wednesday night meeting, he said there was people that walked 20 miles to come to the meeting. Because, this is what he said, he mentioned this older lady. She had walked this far because she had heard there might be a meeting. Because there might be an old lady, she walked this far because there might be a meeting. You know, and the ones in China bring bags with them. It's amazing. But the enemies come by. But I'll tell you, the church in China is doing fine. It's thriving and it will thrive. The church in the Philippines is fine and it will continue to do fine. The church in North Korea is doing fine, and it will continue to do fine. The church in all these areas is thriving. Persecution cannot kill it. The blood of the saints is the seed of the church, isn't it? That's what it is. It's amazing. Cambodia, I mentioned Cambodia, dude, and I know I probably mentioned this before. In Cambodia in the 70s, when Pol Pot was there, he went through and he murdered 33% of his population. 2 to 3 million people he killed, starved to death, and murdered them. All the educated, anybody who could read, write, anybody with any decent profession like a doctor or a teacher, he murdered them all. Yeah, that was one of the things, those who had glasses. He murdered them. But in the church, the murder rate, the death rate was 90%. He murdered the church. 90% of the Christians were murdered. But the church in Cambodia today is doing fine. I've been there. It's doing really well. They thrive and they go on. The church shall stand. The kings, as it says here, the kings come up to it and they march by and this and that. But the church prevails, the church shall stand. Moving on into verse 8. As we have heard, so we have seen. In the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, God will establish it or her forever. He's going to establish his church forever. But I love this part. As we have heard and as we have seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, as we've heard and as we have seen. Have you seen miracles in the church? We long, we need to see miracles in the church. We've heard about them. Have we seen them? Yes, we have seen some. Miracle, the greatest miracle of all is like Ravenhill, where God can take an unholy man or an unholy woman and take him out of an unholy world and save him and then put him back into the unholy world, having made them holy, and then keep them holy. That's the greatest miracle, to see a man or a woman saved, thoroughly saved, loving Jesus, going on in sanctification from day to day, never going back. That's the greatest miracle. I long to see men and women saved. How many people have you prayed for and I have prayed for that come forward and make a confession and 2 years later they're gone? I'm tired of it. I want to see men and women who come and make a confession to Christ and they never turn back. They are caught by the Spirit of God and there is no return. They are on fire for the Lord and they do not go back. That's what we want to see. We've heard about it, and it says here, doesn't it, in that verse 8, as we have heard, so we have seen. We've heard about it. We've heard about revivals. We've heard about people being saved. We've heard about, boy, we're going to see it. We need to see it. We need to learn how to pray. That's what we're praying for on Wednesday nights in our prayer room. We're praying for all of you that are here, that God will reach into your families and save your children, that God will save your neighbors, that God will speak to your hearts and encourage you and strengthen you. There's a group of people in that little room there that are holding you up. Join them. Come with. And let's hold one another up in prayer and see what God will do. It's wonderful. As we have heard, so we have seen. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John. Chapter 1, and we're going to have to quit here pretty soon. 1 John, chapter 1. Now I'm keying off the words, as we have heard, so we have seen. Experiencing God for ourselves. Have you experienced God for yourselves? If not, go experience Him. Give yourself to Him. The Bible tells us to seek and keep on seeking, to ask and go on asking, to knock and keep on knocking. When you seek the Lord with all your heart, you shall find Him. If you do not find the Lord in this life, you will find terror for the rest of your life. Find the Lord. If you haven't met Him yet, meet Him. Find Him. As we have heard, so we have seen, experiencing God for ourselves. This is 1 John. This is John's prayer, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard. It's the same thing, which we have heard. We heard about it. That's which was from the beginning. Who is he talking about? He's talking about God. He's talking about Jesus. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning. He's talking about Christ. That which was from the beginning, which we heard. They heard Christ. And he's seen it, which we have seen with our eyes, and we have looked upon him. We've focused on him. We've concentrated on him. And even our hands have handled concerning the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and we bear witness, and we declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. So it was manifested unto them and in them. That's what they've seen. And he said, I'm declaring it. We're manifesting that which we've heard, that which we've seen, we're manifesting back to you. In other words, it's God into us. God is in us, and we're manifesting him back to a fallen world, back to you. And then he goes on, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. Why? That you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship was with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. When John invites you that your fellowship with us, that you may also have fellowship with us, he's just not talking about the buddies around him. The us is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. John is speaking in Christ, for Christ, out of Christ. We're telling you these things that your fellowship may also be with us, my Jesus, my Father, the Holy Spirit, that your fellowship would be together with us. Have we experienced it? Do we experience it? This is what we find in verse 8 again. As we have heard back in Psalm 48, verse 8. As we have heard, so we have seen in the city of the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts, we'll get into that later, but he's there. He's our king. He's a mighty warrior. He is the Lord of hosts. He has control over everything. He is the Lord of hosts. He is a man of war. He is a fighting force. He holds all things and controls all things. He is the Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, thus distinguishing it from large L, small ORD, Jehovah, he who was, who is, whoever shall be, the Lord. He is the one, the great I am that I am. He is the Lord over all the hosts. And at his word, they move. He's the one that we've heard about and that we've seen and that we want to see in the church. This is the Lord of hosts. Who can get at us? Who can get your life? Who can have you? None. He is the Lord of hosts. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 34 to taste and see that the Lord is good. So the city, the dwelling place, it's the Lord of the Most High. It's a title of power and sovereignty. The church is the dwelling place of the Lord of hosts. This morning, as God moves amongst us, he isn't some weak little thing. You know, we get deceived sometimes because it talks about the Lamb. But he is the Lamb only because the Lamb is the animal that was butchered for sacrifice. Not because he was weak or unable or feeble. He is the Lamb because your sins were placed upon him and he was slaughtered for my sin and for your sin. That's why he's the Lamb. He's also the Lion, isn't he? Now the Lion is the warrior. He roars. He is the King of the Beasts. That's who he is as well. He's wonderful. He's a Lamb and he is a Lion. But he is to be known by his people. So we have seen in the city of the Lord, in the city of our God, and God will establish it forever. Again, it comes and it goes. Kingdoms come and go. Your trials come and go. Your enemies will come and they will go. But Jesus Christ remains forever the same. My relationship with Christ should be ever the same. It's founded upon him and not upon my circumstances. My relationship with him, the love that he has for me, stays constant. Regardless of what my circumstances say, regardless of what your circumstances say, his love for you is constant. His faithfulness for you is constant. As men were burned at the stake, they clapped their hands in the midst of the fire to tell the people, as their flesh fell from their bodies, they clapped their hands to let the brethren know that Christ is with me in the fire. I shall not die. I'm just going to a better place. I'll be alive over there when you are lucky enough or blessed enough to catch up with me. I'll be there. I'm not dying. Death has got no hold on me. And I'll clap my hands in the midst of the fire to let you know that Christ is with me now. That's who these men are. That's our promise. That's this wonderful, wonderful thing. He is this in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, and God has established her forever. Then it says, the little word, doesn't it? Selah, which means, okay, at this point, pause and think about these things. Think about what we've read. Think of that great is the Lord, and he's greatly to be praised. Of all places in the city, in the church of God, in this holy mountain, it's beautiful for elevation. God has lifted the church. It's beautiful for elevation. The joy of the whole earth. Well, it's the joy of all the Christian earth. Many of the world hates us. That's not what he's talking about. But as you come into the church, as you're birthed into the church, the only entrance into the church is the new birth. Birthed into the church. There's a joy there. All over the world it happens. In the jungles of Borneo to the city of New York and everything in between. There's a joy of the whole earth. Is this church, Mount Zion, the city of our great God? The Lord of hosts is there. It'll be established forever and ever and ever. God is in her palaces. God dwells with her. It will be established forever. The Lord of hosts is here. The Lord of all the armies of the earth. Remember, and I'll probably repeat this, but remember that in the Old Testament, as the Syrian army encircled Israel to destroy her, God sent one soldier after them. It was the angel of death. And while they slept, that one angel killed 185,000 Assyrians and was so good at it that nobody woke up. Nobody screamed, nobody hollered, nobody wrestled and made noise. One angel did that. And he is the Lord of hosts, and he's here in the church. Wow, this is wonderful. And as you have heard and seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, it will be established forever. Now think on these things. So we get into more, I trust, Lord willing, next week. But when we look at the church, you know, what do we see? So often we see what it isn't. I'm guilty of it, what the church isn't. But from God's viewpoint, yes, he sees what isn't. He sees where we fail. He sees the poor amount of energy we apply to the Christian life, our own Christian life. How much time do we commit to devotion, getting alone with Christ, praying, having communion with him, reading the scriptures, but having communion with him, pursuing holiness? How much of our energies are exhausted? God sees all that stuff. He does, but yet somehow he sees what we shall be, and he sees the church, and she's all glorious within. That's another psalm, Psalm 46, I think it is. She's all glorious within. Wonderful, wonderful. This is what God sees. So let's close in prayer. And then we're going to sing that song again that we played at offering. I know it's probably a new song for you. I first heard it from Times Square Church. If you want to learn it, you can go at home, get on YouTube, Google The Waymaker, Times Square Church. And let the Lord speak to you as we close with that song and reach out to him and do business with him. So, Father, we thank you again for this beautiful day, the Lord's Day. And, Lord, we ask your blessing on what has been spoken. Lord, that it would bear fruit in our hearts. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the day. Lord, keep our hearts on these things. Lord, as we read at the end of verse 8, Selah. Meditate, contemplate, pause, and think on these things. How glorious is the church, the city of the living God. So we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.